Good morning and welcome to From Me to You on Hippie Radio. I hope everyone got out last night and saw the Vox Tops because we have one with us today coming in hot off the show from last night. I'm sure the show went well, Mike.
Oh, you know, playing with these caliber musicians and playing those great old songs, it's a retiree's dream come true.
Yeah.
I'm as retired as I'm going to get.
Well, while we have you here, one of the songs, and Mike, you know, I've known Gary, we've all known Gary, but for 20 years or more, I had forgotten Sweet Cream Lady Forward March was a Vox Tops song because it's kind of not in the normal Vox Tops genre. That's quite a song. Let's listen to that. Okay, and that was Sweet Cream Ladies Forward March. We're going to have to get the backstory on that at some point from you.
Well, all I know is...
Well, you can tell us now, but...
Well, Dan Penn was their producer, and Alex Chilton was just an amazing singer.
Yeah.
And, of course, the guys didn't really write their own songs. Dan got them for them. And some New York writer, Dan just thought that that was a hit. And so they did what Dan told them to do. And that's the only backstory. Gary would probably know the deeper story.
Oh, I thought you said
it
was something where it couldn't be G-rated or something.
Well, it's about ladies of the night.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Well, I used to hear it here when I was growing up in Columbia, Tennessee. Anyway, so let's move on to the Beatles and the Atlanta connection. And there are so many Nashville connections to Atlanta. So what is your Beatles connection?
Well, when I moved to Atlanta in 1976, my aspiration was to be a session player, and I met a record producer named Steve Clark, and many people may not know who Steve is. But Steve was based out of Chicago, and he worked with Mr. Music Atlanta, was Bill Lowry.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill was involved with anybody from Atlanta, probably was connected to Bill Lowry somehow, myself included.
Right.
And because Steve Clark was working for Bill Lowry at the time, Steve did a lot of records with Tommy Rowe. Tommy Rowe had his first hit was Sweet Little Sheila, which, by the way, was recorded in Nashville. But most of Tommy's records were recorded in Muscle Shoals, Alabama, at Rick Hall Studio, because Bill Lowry and Rick Hall were very close friends, and Bill brought all his artists from Atlanta over to Muscle Shoals. So the Atlanta connection with the Beatles really started in 1963. Bill Lowry's act, Tommy Rowe, had a hit called The Folk Singer.
Okay.
So Tommy went to Muscle Shoals and he recorded and had a hit with a song called Everybody. So in 1963, Tommy had three top 10 records: Sheila, everybody in the folk singer. And the folk singer was, in fact, written by a Nashville guy named Merle Kilgore, if you've ever heard of Merle.
Oh, sure.
Okay, well, the folk singer was a big record for Tommy, and it was like number four in March of 1963. So Chris Montez and Tommy go to England, and they do a tour of March of 63. So there you go. You got an Atlanta artist, a Nashville songwriter, the song The Folk Singer, which, if you can find it, that'd be a great one to play, and everybody.
Let's play The Folk Singer.
He used to sing his songs to his Sarah Jane, the folk singer. His songs filled with love made the mountains ring to the folk. Style, the folk singer. His voice was pure and the fans went wild for the folk singer. He said Sarah Jane was much too plain, so he left her alone as he gained more fame. But sorrow will come like a mountain rain to the folk singer. Lavished in glory, fortune at his feet, the folk singer awoke one morning and he couldn't speak, the folk singer. The doctor said his singing days were through, thousands wept, Sarah Jane did too. He could not sing, now his friends were few, the folk singer. Sick at heart in the mountains again, the folk singer. Now Sarah Jane didn't look so plain to the folk singer. Oh, the power of love can do strange things, 'cause love has made him sing. For his Sarah Jane, the folk singer. And once again the mountains ring to the folk singer, the folk singer.
And that's The Folk Singer. That's a big song for Tommy Rowe when he's touring with Chris Montez and the Beatles.
So Tommy comes back to Atlanta and tells Bill Lowry. He said, Bill, he said, there's this band in England. And he said, we were the headliners. And they were wanting us to get off stage. You know, they didn't even want us. They wanted our warm-up band. And Bill said, well, let me hear them. And Tommy had a tape. I don't know what kind of tape it was. If it was, I don't think it was a studio tape, but it was maybe a live tape of them playing. And, of course, Bill never liked to remember this, but he said, oh, they'll never make it in America. And so he just said, I'm not interested. And then Tommy went and took the tape to Muscle Shoals and played it for Norbert Putman and Rick Hall. And they all said, these guys will never make it.
Right.
But Tommy, who's a good friend to this day, he just turned 80. Love Tommy. He comes to Nashville occasionally and we get together. But he told me personally, he said that Brian Epstein said, he said, if we play America, you can open for us. So that's another Atlanta connection. He kept
right.
his promise. And so the very first show was February 11th, Washington, D.C. I guess it was the Civic Center.
Right.
Right. That was the very first show. So since Tommy was connected with the Muscle Shoals players, he comes back and he says, hey, do you want to play this gig with me? He said, you remember that band you didn't like? I said, yeah. He said, well, I'm opening for them in D.C. And I think the drummer said, what does it pay? They had no interest in whatsoever in doing it, but it was paying good money. And they were excited because the Righteous Brothers and the Chiffons, they were going to back up Tommy and all these well-known American acts. They couldn't care less who this British band was. But that was another Atlanta connection, is the fact that Tommy brought these Muscle Shoals and eventually became Nashville players to Washington, D.C. to be in that, you know, to play at that first concert. And, of course, after they got there, they saw Beatlemania. And, of course, that was 2 days after the Ed Sullivan appearance. And by that, you know, by this time, you're talking 6 months from the time that he'd first exposed Atlanta and Muscle Shoals to the Beatles. They just said, oh, my gosh, I get it. He says, these guys are, you know, in fact, I think one guy commented, he said it was the Beatles were the loudest band he'd ever heard up to that time. And
we had Norbert on the show a couple of times, actually. And he said the same thing you said. They, on their way up in the plane, they toasted each other and to say, after all these years, we finally get to open for the Righteous Brothers. They were more happy about the Righteous Brothers. And the American promoters had signed up 7 American bands, good ones, like Tommy Rowe, who had several hits, and the people who did Mr. Sandman and the Righteous Brothers and others, because they didn't know if the Beatles would flop on Ed Sullivan or not.
Right. They were afraid. They were afraid it wouldn't fill the venue. But, of course, they got a pleasant surprise, especially after the Ed Sullivan Show and the Beatlemania started taking over America. So, anyway, that Tommy Rowe was an Atlanta Beatle connection. And let's get back to the guy that introduced me to Tommy Rowe. It's a guy named Steve Clark. Now, Steve Clark was an executive with a label in Chicago called VJ Records. So, Steve, because he thought the Beatles should be released in America, took the tape that Tommy gave him, who was another Atlanta guy, and that's how they got their deal, I think, in summer of 63 on VJ Records.
And VJ released Please Please Me. Mm-hmm. So let's listen to Please Please Me. Please Please Me, the Beatles' first number one in England, and didn't reach number one here until after I Want to Hold Your Hands. By then, VJ had it. So just to fill everyone in, the first Beatle records, Love Me Do and P.S. I Love You, were on Tolly. And then Swan did She Loves You and I'll Get You. And then VJ had them for a 5-album recording contract. So if VJ hadn't screwed up, they would have had the Beatles for Sgt. Pepper.
Well, The Atlanta connection is Steve Clark, who was Tommy Rowe's producer. In fact, he produced Sweet Pea and Dizzy, which are great Tommy Rowe records. And he also produced The Association, Along Comes Mary. So yeah. Steve, in the 60s, as he used to say, he says, I used to be somebody on the left coast.
Yeah.
And then by this time, unfortunately, some of his personal decisions that shall remain private knowledge, you know, he said, I'm one of the only people in the world that can say I lost the Beatles.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. The Beatles, just for this is public knowledge, the Beatles were on VJ and the records were selling. And they took the Please Please Me album, that was the first record they recorded at EMI, and released it on VJ. It's called Introducing the Beatles over here. And then right. they had Please Please Me and From Me to You, and they had everything going for them. And then they didn't pay the Beatles their royalties.
Well,
and so they were able to terminate their contract.
They made a lot of mistakes, but an Atlanta executive who was a personal friend of mine, he used to hire me to play keyboards. In fact, that's how I met Tommy Rowe, was because Tommy and him were still working together, and Steve had produced, he and a couple of other L.A. producers had produced a lot of big hits for Tommy. In fact, another Atlanta connection to the Beatles, Freddie Weller, who still lives here in Nashville, Freddie was from Atlanta and was connected with Tommy, and they wrote Dizzy and Jam Up and Jelly Tight, which were hits that Steve were involved with. And Hooray for Hazel was another record that Steve did. So Tommy and Steve were good friends, and there's a little bit of a sad story, but I want to tell it to you the day I met Tommy Rowe with Steve Clark. But the Atlanta connection with the Beatles is Steve Clark and VJ Records. And just, I was a kid who just moved to town in 1976, and Steve had moved back from Los Angeles after some of his business failures and was starting over doing something called Tax Shelter Records. So that'll be a story for another day. And I yeah. was working with Tommy doing a Tax Shelter record with Tommy Rowe.
Well, let's listen to Dizzy is one of my favorites. Let's listen to Dizzy.
Never.
That's Dizzy by Tommy Rowe. So we'd like to take a break right now. We're talking about Beatles and the Atlanta connection, and we'll be right back with Mike Stewart. Welcome back. This is Richard Courtney. This is From Me to You. We're on Hippie Radio with Claudine Iannucci, making us sound good. We have Mike Stewart here, and we're talking about the Atlanta connection. And then Chris Montez, who was on that same tour, had a song called Let's Dance, right?
Yeah, Let's Dance was his big hit.
So let's listen to a Chris Montez song, Let's Dance.
Hey, baby, won't you take a chance? Say that you'll let me have this dance. Oh, let's dance. Oh, let's dance. Oh, do the twist and stomp to my potato, too. Any old dance that you want to do. But let's dance. Oh, let's dance. Hey, baby, yeah, you throw me slow. Hold me tight, don't you let me go.
Dance by Chris Montez, who's on tour with Atlanta and Tommy Rowe, who is the feature act for the Beatles, who were just the opening act at the time. And we're with Mike Stewart, a good friend of Tommy Rowe, and we're talking about the Beatles-Atlanta connection. After one of their shows where the Beatles were opening for Montez and Tommy Rowe, they were riding a tour bus around at that point, which was big for the Beatles because they've been riding around in a van sleeping on top of each other. But Lennon had a little too much to drink and got in a fist fight with Chris Montez when the Beatles were on the bus riding Misery for Helen Shapiro, who decided not to record it. But let's listen to Misery because that ties us back to Atlanta and Chris Montez and even Helen Shapiro. So here's Misery.
The world is treating me bad. Misery. I'm the kind of guy who never used to cry. The world is treating me bad. Misery. I've lost her now for sure. I won't see her. Send her back to me.
That's Misery by the Beatles off the Please Please Me LP. And if you happen to have been in England, or now, if you get it on CD or however you buy their albums, and introducing the Beatles on the VJ label from Steve Clark. And that record that sold really well for them. But it's also the most often bootlegged album of all time, introducing the Beatles. So I'm sure that didn't help VJ's interest much either.
No, not at all.
Some of it you can hear, they recorded it from the record and made a bootleg of it, and you can hear the needle pops. We have Mike Stewart here, and we're talking about the Atlanta connection to the Beatles. The Beatles, of course, played in Atlanta. I think they played in Fulton County Stadium, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I've got a little story on that here in a moment.
Okay.
But I want to talk about that for a second. You know, after all of these things happened, you know, it was just for Tommy to play that show, and then, of course, Tommy's career was, you know, it was hard to get back on radio, but Tommy sold a lot of records. Tommy had a very, very successful career. And Steve Clark, like I said, introduced me and told me all these Beatle connection things. He said, by the way, he said, one of your sessions we're going to do next week at Bill Lowry's studio is going to be, we're going to recut all of Tommy's hit records for a national label called Gusto Records. And I said, okay, great. So I was excited. I was more excited to meet Tommy because he knew the Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I never wanted to tell Tommy that at first, you know, but that was, here is somebody that I'm going to get to shake hands with that actually knew them. And of course, one of the things that Tommy told me, you talk about that fight with John Lennon and Chris Montez. Well, Tommy and John almost got into it because John poured a beer on Tommy's head. I don't know if that was ever public, but that's from Tommy's mouth. So John could be a little bit of a teddy boy on the bus, I guess. But at any rate, moving forward, this is something that is irony and sadness, but I'm going to tell it to you. And this was the date I met Tommy Rowe at Bill Lowry's studio, December 9th, 1980. Now, we go into the studio. What had happened the night before?
John had been assassinated.
Right. And this is an Atlanta connection, and it's not something I'm proud of, but I go into the studio, and I'm, you know, we're all going, God, can you believe what happened? And Tommy said, yeah, man. He said the Channel 11 News flew their helicopter up to my farm at 7 a.m. to interview me because I'm one of the few Atlantans that, you know, had been on stage for weeks at a time and knew the Beatles. So Tommy was all over the news that weekend, the day I met. And it was really hard to think that for the rest of my life, the day I met my friend Tommy was the day after John was assassinated. But that's an Atlanta connection. This is what's really spooky about this Atlanta connection. Bill Lowry had a recording studio in an old schoolhouse in Atlanta. And in that old schoolhouse, Billy Joe Royal, Joe South, Games People Play was recorded there. Down in the Boondocks was recorded there. I mean, this old schoolhouse was the home to hundreds of big, big 60s records. And I'm in this room, and I don't know if you knew this, Richard, but Mark David Chapman was trying to do stuff in music in Atlanta and was living in Atlanta and had been to that studio before.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yeah. So it's been a 40-plus year irony to me, because you got to remember, my love of the Beatles happened when I was a kid, and here I am in my 20s, and I'm meeting one of my heroes, you know, and I'm involved with the Bill Lowry Group, and I've always looked back on the irony. What are the odds of Steve Clark, Tommy Rowe, another gentleman named Mike Clark, who was involved with the Lowry Group, who was involved with all kinds of music, and Mark David Chapman had all been in the same room in Atlanta. So there's a lot of Beatle connection. I don't know if it's a lot of it's good energy, but that one, I have to say, can still make me cry. But I'm a reporter here. I'm just telling you the connections. As life went on, I'll have to send you a picture of it. I got a poster of that first concert that says Tommy Rowe on it. And Tommy signed my poster to my bud and biggest Beatle fan, Tommy Brooks. So he's acknowledged that I'm a lover of the Beatles. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, let's go back to that Sad Time and listen to Starting Over by John Lennon and Yoko Ono off the Double Fantasy album, the album that John Lennon signed for Mark David Chapman the night that Chapman shot Lennon.
Our life together is so precious. Together we have grown. We have grown. Although our love is still special, let's take a chance and fly away somewhere alone.
It's been too long since we took the time. No one's to blame. I know time flies so quickly.
Starting Over, that was John Lennon, and that was a sad time for all of us when it was, I remember, cold in Nashville, and we were listening on all the radio stations, couldn't believe it. Of course, Howard Cosell broke it on Monday Night Football.
Foreman, it'll be fourth down. Kavanaugh will let it run down for one final attempt. He'll let the seconds tick off to give Miami no opportunity whatsoever. Timeout is called. 3 seconds remaining. John Smith is on the line. And I don't care what's on the line, Howard. You have got to say what we know in the booth.
Yes, we have to say it. Remember, this is just a football game. No matter who wins or loses. An unspeakable tragedy confirmed to us by ABC News in New York City. John Lennon, outside of his apartment building on the west side of New York City, the most famous perhaps of all of the Beatles, shot twice in the back, rushed to Roosevelt Hospital, dead on arrival. Hard to go back to the game after that news flash, which in duty bound we had to take. Frank?
Indeed it is.
So we'd like to take a break right now. We're talking about Beatles and the Atlanta connection, and we'll be right back with Mike Stewart. Welcome back. This is Richard Courtney. This is From Me to You. We're on Hippie Radio with Claudine Iannucci, making us sound good.
Here's a happy little thing that happened to me in my days of owning my studio in Atlanta. I believe what I did may have caused a bootleg phenomenon that I didn't realize. But a gentleman came into my studio in the 80s, mid-80s, maybe 90s. And he said, my grandfather worked for Baker Audio. I said, yeah, I've heard of Baker Audio. He said, they're a PA installation service in Atlanta. And he said, they installed a PA system at Fulton County Stadium in the 60s. And he said, the BBC hired my grandfather to hook up a tape recorder and record the Beatles in Atlanta, and I think it was 65 when they played the Fulton County Stadium there in Atlanta, which is long since been demolished. And he recorded the tape of that concert, about 22 minutes, and put it in his closet, and the BBC never collected it. And this young man came into my studio, and he said, can you make me a copy of this tape? I think it's the Beatles. And he said, I don't think anybody in the world has ever heard this performance. But he says, I know it's Atlanta because my grandfather, who's passed away, is the one who recorded it, and it was been in his closet all these years.
Wow.
Well, I put the reel-to-reel on the tape and made back in those days, you had a digital machine called a DAT, D-A-T machine. I made a DAT copy. And he said, how much do you want for doing this? I said, nothing. I said, and we know it was Atlanta because I had a friend who was in a band in the 60s, and he opened. They used to use, the radio stations would use local popular bands to open for these shows. And one of the things that was interesting about the Atlanta connection with Baker Audio, he said my grandfather figured out how to hook up their PA system to the PA system of the Fulton County Stadium, so that the Beatles' vocals, at least their vocals, came through all of the horns, you know, where the announcers came in.
Mm.
And so when the announcer came out and announced his name, that verified that it was the Atlanta performance. And they get on stage, and they go, you know, every time the Beatles would get on stage, you'd hear them plugging in their guitars. I mean, it's nothing like you do a concert today. You know, it's just, hey, they're walking up on stage, they're plugging in their amps, you hear all this noise. And Paul goes, hello, hello. And I remember he goes, ooh, it's loud.
We'd like to carry on now. Ooh, it's loud, isn't it? Hey? Great. We'd like to carry on with the song, which is our last but one record, I think, something like that. And this song is called I Feel Fine.
She's in love with me and I feel
That's how we know that was the Atlanta performance, because that was the first time anybody had ever plugged up a Beatles sound equipment to the sound equipment of the stadium. That's another little trivia that I was privy to.
Yeah, and that show would have been the ones when they were playing, like in the show you talked about last week, when they were playing The Help and I'm Down and songs like that.
Yeah, they opened with Twist and Shout, a shortened version of Twist and Shout.
Yeah. That's how we close the show every week, Twist and Shout, so we won't do that one. Let's do Help live.
Thank you, Ringo. We'll have to wait a minute now while Paul changes his bass. He's broken a string, have you? What are you going to do? Keep talking, most of us say.
Well, it's simply wonderful to be here, you know, and it's so
good. I can't think of anything to say, so why don't you just hum and talk to yourselves for a bit? Go on. Oh, thank you very much, everybody. The next song is also a song from a film we made. And it's the last film we made. It's also our latest record. And Capital. And it's called Help!
Help live from the Atlanta show. Well, let's listen to a couple of songs live in Atlanta that you'll never hear anywhere else but here.
Thank you, folks. The next song we'd like to sing. Oh, it's great, you can hear it. It's from our last LP but one. I think it's called Beatles 6. Six. What? And it's called Dizzy Miss Lizzie.
You make me dizzy.
Thank you very much, sir. Well, for the next one, this song was our last but one record. Hey, can you all hear me? Can you hear me? Yes! Right, marvellous. Well, anyway, it's our last record before our latest, if you see what I mean. And this one is called Ticket to Ride. Thank you. We'd like to carry on with another song now, and it's from Beatles 65 album, I think. And it's called Everybody's Trying to Be My Baby Now. Well, they took some honey from a tree, dressed it up and they called it. Everybody's trying to be my baby. Everybody's trying to be my baby. Everybody's trying to be my baby now. Woke up last night, 4:30, 15 women knocking on my door. Everybody's trying to be my baby. Everybody's trying to be my baby. Everybody's trying to be my baby now, yeah. Everybody's trying to be my baby. Everybody's trying to be my baby. Everybody's trying to be my baby now, yeah. Everybody's trying to be my baby. Everybody's trying to be my baby now, yeah. Well, they took some honey from a tree, just
it up and they called it me. Everybody's trying to be my baby. Everybody's trying to be my baby. Everybody's trying to be my baby now. Thank you very much. Thank you, George.
Great, eh?
Hey, great, eh? Told you. This next song, this one, where if you all feel like clapping your hands, well, do so in this one. I've been saying this for about 3 days and nobody ever claps them, but don't worry. This one is one called Can't Buy Me Love. I can't buy me love. Makes you feel alright. I'll get you anything, my friend. If it makes you feel alright. Cause I don't care too much for money. My money can buy me love. I'll give you all I've got to give. If you say you love me so, I may not have a lot to give. What I got, I'll give to you. Cause I don't care too much for money. My money can buy me love. Can buy me love. And buy me love. I don't know, no, no. Say you don't need a diamond ring. I don't be satisfied. No, because you want the kind of thing that money just can't buy. Cause I don't care too much for money. My money can buy me love. Whoa! Can buy me love. No, 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 no. Say I don't need a diamond ring and I'll be satisfied. Tell me, did you want the kind of thing that money just can't buy? Cause I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love. Can buy me love. Love can buy me.
All right. Well, it's great having Mike with us again today. That's Mike Stewart. He's with the Box Tops, and he played last night at City Winery to a sold-out crowd. And we'll have you back with these piano parts.
Well, Richard, talking Beatles with you is always a pleasure.
Thanks for being here, Mike. Thanks for everything, Claudine, and we'll be back.
For our last number, I'd like to ask your help. Would the people in the cheaper seats clap your hands? And the rest of you, if you just rattle your jewelry. Thank you. We'd like to sing a song called Twist and Shout.
You look so good, look so good. You-
Thanks, Mo.
I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves, and I hope we pass the audition.